is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is Pastor Rob Chambers of Reedtown Community Church in Newport, Tennessee. It is our earnest hope and prayer that something will be said or done through word or song that will be a blessing to your heart.
Trust that you've enjoyed the holiday. Let me ask you a question. What holiday did we celebrate yesterday? Wake up. What holiday did we celebrate yesterday? Independence Day. Independence from what? Independence from tyranny. Independence from oppression. From taxation without legal representation. Taxation from a government that oppressed the religious beliefs of the 13 colonies that were founded on this continent. We celebrated our independence and liberty and our ability to become a sovereign nation to govern ourselves as we see fit. Is that what you celebrated yesterday? Or did you get together and eat hot dogs and shoot firecrackers? There's a difference. There's a big difference between the two. Thomas Jefferson said that on occasion the tree of liberty must need be watered with the blood of tyrants and of patriots. Those pretty words, preacher. What's it mean? It means freedom has a price. It always has had a price. It always will have a price. We forget that today. We forget that. The world that we live in, our society, this country as a whole right now, we are so willing to trade liberty for security. Are they not the same, Pastor? No. They nowhere close to being the same. We'll trade this small liberty for the security that we won't have to worry about this. We'll vote certain politicians in that promises great and grand things that we won't have to worry about anything else. And then when they get elected and they get in office, they begin to take freedoms and liberties from us. They begin to pass laws that restrict what we can and cannot do. We forget that the object and the purpose of government is to ensure our rights as individuals. That's it. To protect us physically from harm from other nations and to ensure that our rights come first. Not government's rights. Not government's rights. The rights of the individual. 233 years ago, yesterday, there was a group of 56 men that got together and set in motion an experiment that had never been attempted before in the history of mankind. Whether a government for the people, by the people, and of the people could stand and govern themselves. Matthew's already mentioned those 56 men. We don't look at them that way. We call them patriots today. But in that time, they were traitors. Some of them were captured, tortured, and hung. They watched their families killed. They watched their homes burned, their businesses burned, all of their possessions taken. Over half of them died broke because they gave every last thing that they had for this dream of freedom that burned inside their hearts. Several of them watched their sons go off to war and never come home. We think of the soldier who dies on the battlefield as a patriot. I tell you what, the mother that sits at home and knows her son will never come back is just as much a patriot as any man that would lay down his life for his country. For over 2 1/4 centuries, countless men and women have felt the call of service, and they've enlisted in the military, and then they have gone off to war. 25,000 men died in the Revolutionary War. 2,000 died in the War of 1812. 800,000 died in the Civil War. World War I saw over 116,000 Americans killed. World War II claimed 400,000 American servicemen. Korea, 54,000. Vietnam, 58,000. The first Gulf War, over 200. The current Gulf War, well over 4,000. In these and countless other brush wars and conflicts and flare-ups across the world for 233 years, almost 2 million Americans have died in service to our country so that you and I could be here right now, ensuring our freedoms to live life the way that we think it should be lived, to worship God in the way that we see fit, and to do the things that we believe we are entitled to as free men and women in this world that you and I live in. If you look in Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with the first verse, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has sent me here this morning to tell you that Jesus saves." Can I get an amen this morning? Can the saints of God testify to the glory of the Son of God that He came to seek and to save those that were lost? Go to John chapter 8, beginning with the 31st verse. "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The very next verse, the scribes and the Pharisees says, "What are you talking about? We're children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to any man." Break. Wait just a minute. They'd been in bondage to Egypt. They'd been in bondage to Syria. They'd been in bondage to Babylon. They'd been in bondage to the Philistines. And at the time they were talking, they had been conquered by the Romans. Where do they get? "We've never been in bondage to any man." They're the same as you and I today. We forget. We forget. We forget that at one time we were in chains and bondage to sin. We forget that at one time in our life we served a different master than the one we serve now. Jesus Himself said, those that sin are servants to sin. We served our master at that time, Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, the power and the spirit of this world, the power of the air. Because that's what we knew. Because we didn't know truth. There was no truth in us. But because Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood at Calvary, rose again the third day, and then one day, 2,000 years down the road, you and I heard the Word of God, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost moved upon us, brought conviction. We came to an old-fashioned altar, repented of our sins, confessed that we were lost and undone. We needed a God. We needed a Savior. Invited Him into our lives to become Lord, Master, and King. We forget all that. We forget all that. And when we forget that, we become like the nation of Israel were at that time. We become just like them. We again become bound by pride and arrogance. What an apt description for the church today. Too prideful to change. Bound up by tradition. It's the way we've always done it. That's the way we're going to keep doing it. I don't care how you've always done it. I don't care how you do it now, as long as it's done by the Word of God. If it's done God's way, there's nothing wrong with it. Then keep on keeping on with it. If it's not God's way, you better change it. Because it's of no profit. It's of no use to you. That 36th verse, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If you're here this morning, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And you're living a life acceptable unto God. It takes just a little bit more than a prayer. It takes just a little bit more than begging God to forgive you. It takes repentance. Repentance means turning away from sin. Repentance means living a life without sin. Preacher, I ain't perfect. I can't sin. I can't live a perfect life. I can't live sin-free. Yes, you can.
Yes, brother.
With everything that's within you, yes, you can. God called you to a life free from sin.
Amen, brother. That's Bible.
But I'll fall. Well, so what? When you fall, what will happen? The Holy Ghost of God will tell you. He'll move in your heart. He'll woo you. He'll convict you. You'll repent. You'll stand back up and you'll get right back on the road. And then you're leading a what? A sin-free life because God forgives you. The sin's taken away. You may go one day, you may go a week, you may go a month, you may go a year without committing a sin in the eyes of God. But unless you are living a life and trying as much as you possibly can to not sin, you're not living an acceptable life in God's eyes. And that's what it takes.
Amen.
If you want to be free, I mean free.
Yes.
Free from the restraints and the fetters of sin. Free from fear. Perfect love taketh away fear. If you want to be free from worry, if you want to be free from sorrow, if you want to be free from this earthly shell, if you want to be free from the vile, dark, sin-filled world that we live in, you have no option. You must believe on Jesus Christ. I read it in verse 61. Come for the brokenhearted. To bring the news to the captives. All these promises, all the things that God has for His children, there's just one way, one path, one purpose, I don't care who stands up and tells you that there's more than one path to heaven and to God. They're a liar and the truth's not in them. And if they stood here before me this morning, by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Ghost of God, I don't care if they're the greatest evangelist in the world. I don't care if they're the President of the United States. I don't care if they're the leader of the United... I don't care who they are. If they claim there's more than one way to God, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. That's your opinion, preacher. No, it's not. That's the Word of God. It stood for 2,000 years. Longer than any country, longer than any man alive today. And it will stand while the world's on fire. There is just one way to freedom. One way to heaven. One way to God. And that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This morning, are you free? Are you free this morning? If you'd been in prison for 20 years, in chains, kept in a dungeon in the dark, fed bread and water, and I came in and I banged on the bars and I said, I've got the key right here. I've got the key in my hand. I'm going to reach through the bars and I'm going to offer you this key right now this morning. You can get out of this prison. You can be free. All of your crimes will be gone, never to be remembered again. All you have to do is reach out your hand and take this key from me this morning. There's not one of you here, there's not one within the sound of my voice, wouldn't break your neck to get across that cell, grab that key from my hand, cram it in the lock, and get out of that prison cell as fast as you possibly could. Jesus, this morning, has His hand outstretched, and in that gloriously beautiful nail-scarred hand, there's a key. He has the key of death, hell, and the grave. He offers you that key this morning. He offers the key to get you out of the prison cell that you're in. He's offering you the key that unlocks the shackles that bind you. He's offering you freedom this morning. Freedom! Will you accept it? Or will you say, no thank you? The choice is yours. He cannot free someone who does not want to be free. Do you want to be free this morning? Come to the piano, please. Everyone stand to your feet this morning. Do you want to be free? Free from the burden of sin. Free from the fear of death. Free from the afterlife. That if you right now have never accepted Jesus Christ, that you are bound to. Don't have to question for an instant. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, where you'll spend eternity. We've got an ironclad guarantee. The Word of God tells us repeatedly, if we die in our sins, we'll spend eternity in hell. But Jesus said, I died for you that you might be free. But the route to freedom, the escape route, is through the man Jesus Christ. As we sing this morning, if you want to be free, here's the path, right here. Don't wait, don't walk, run. Run to freedom. Run to Jesus this morning as we sing. We hope that you've enjoyed our podcast presentation. If you would like more information about the church or any additional podcast,
please join us on the web at www.reedtowncommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. That's spelled REEDTOWN, communitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you, and God bless.